This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to NSPS Radio Hour. Glad to have you with us today. Hope your weather is fine and lovely where you are, and you got all kinds of work to do and making more money than you've ever made. That's always a good thing surveyors are interested in, as well as everybody else, I suppose. But clearly that's true for us. And I'm happy today to have with me Mr. Richard Serby, who founded a company called GeoSearch way back in 1988. And it's a really interesting topic for us on a lot of reasons, Richard, because surveying employment is an important issue, obviously, to our constituents, as well as people in other sectors, because we all have to work together, that's for sure. But one of the things I've heard, and maybe we can talk about this as we get into the show, but I've heard from people recently across the country, really, talking about sort of restaffing after the, I don't know if recession is a good word, economic downturn, whatever terminology one chooses for the past few years. And one of the things that I'm hearing from people, particularly from the technician side, is the availability of technicians. Because a lot of them who lost their jobs went off and did something else and I guess don't want to come back and take a chance on surveying again. So we don't need to talk about that right off the bat, but it was one of the reasons that spurred me to want to do this, because I'm hearing that from quite a few people, and of course that's the business you're in, so I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about that. But first of all, thanks for being with me on the show. I appreciate that, and perhaps you could give the audience a breakdown of the business and how it got started and what you guys are all about.
Well, I certainly will. Thank you for having me on the air with you. I recognized that there was a need for recruitment services in what we now call geospatial sciences. Wasn't called that at that time. But back in the 1980s, I was contacted by a mapping company here in Colorado Springs asking if I might be able to assist in finding these new people in geographic information systems, or GIS. And the technology had rapidly changed, and they were having difficulty keeping up with staffing these new technologies, including GIS and photogrammetry. And surveying also was being affected by new technology. So I was successful in finding a few people for them, and we made an arrangement to go on a monthly retainer basis with that company, which went for 12 years unbroken until the company was sold. And I began to call around the country to ask other mapping companies if they were also experiencing difficulty in finding qualified staff, and the resounding answer was yes. So I began adding clientele one by one around the country, in New Jersey and Florida and in pretty much every state of the union, decided that this specialty in terms of the geospatial sciences is where I wanted to be. And going into my 27th year, it turns out to have been a good decision.
Yeah, that's pretty good longevity. And yeah. I noticed when I was looking at the website, I mean, obviously the whole geospatial realm is a big part of what you guys do, but you actually branch out beyond that too, obviously.
Well, we do get into some connecting engineering types of positions occasionally. Almost everyone that we will present to an employer will have some kind of a geospatial skill component to them. That's the audience that we speak to. That's the audience that we invite to participate. But that does mean that we will branch out into civil engineering and when it comes to things like streets and roads and those kinds of activities. That data is brought into a company's site, and electronic maps are produced for the client. So we will put people in airplanes, and we will put people in ground crews. We will put people in workstation cubicles to get this work accomplished.
Are you seeing that with changes, and you mentioned the 27 years, and I relate to that, I don't know if in a good way or a bad way, because it means I'm old, but I relate to all of those kind of changes that come along in the technologies and the skills required and the education required being so dramatically different. I mean, I go all the way back to the mid-60s when I started, so that was a major change. But I would assume that creates a lot of interesting situations for you guys as you're recruiting, understanding the or grasping what those different skills and education levels and those kind of things are.
Well, it does. It's a fun challenge, but there's not a week that goes by that I don't see yet another acronym that I'd never seen before relating to another change in technology. And in the professional land surveying arena, we are also having to address the fact that the average professional land surveyor is 60 years old. And we're going to have a very large group of baby boomers retiring all at the same time in the profession. And as in the past decades, we have seen training programs actually decrease because it had become kind of a closed profession. And it was difficult to get in, and it took a long time to become a professional land surveyor level. Oftentimes, employees or surveyors would be in their 40s before they could reach that PLS status. Well, that is going to change, and that's going to have to change pretty rapidly over the next few years in terms of training programs available and how will existing land surveying firms stay afloat if they are not able to access qualified personnel.
Yeah, that's true. We've talked about that dynamic in terms of the age on the show and among surveyors. Seems to be a pretty consistent conversation,
yeah,
because of that age, and the people on the radio get tired of hearing me say it, but the age being what it is for the average, it puts me above average for the first time, so that maybe that's good for me. But nonetheless, I think kind of indicative of what you just said with regard to the length of time to get to licensure and the average age and all that, I think it's interesting that internationally as well as nationally, the focus is now trying to be turned to what everybody's referring to as the young surveyors and trying to find ways to bring people into the profession. But the definition that's being used for a young surveyor is anyone who's under 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of indicative, I think, what you were talking about in terms of when people have historically obtained their licenses because of that long internship that we've always had. And, of course, the college educational programs help that because now the four-year degree students are able to take the fundamentals when they graduate, and then depending on the state, somewhere between 4 and 6 years later, they can look for a license. So they're looking mid-20s rather than 40s, as you said before.
Mm-hmm.
And it does change, I think, a lot of things. I mean, it changes, as you said, it changes the skill level. It changes the requirements for what they know and what they don't know. So I guess one of the things I'm interested in is one of the things you've mentioned that you guys are involved in is training programs, and there seems to be a lot of that going on in different areas, whether it's at community colleges or wherever, but even they don't capture so many of the potential people out there. And I was interested in your perspectives on all that.
Yeah, I think that there really needs to be a concerted effort to reacquaint young people or mid-career people with the profession of land surveying. I think that when our our 60-year-old current land surveyors were in their 40s and 50s. The profession was really pretty much fully employed, and so the number of younger people entering the profession really was reduced. It decreased quite a lot, and I think now what we're experiencing is that we have an entire generation of high school and college students who are really just unaware of the opportunities that exist in land surveying that would be very attractive. It initially, of course, attracts people who have mathematics skills, who are interested in geography, who are interested in an occupation where you get to spend time outdoors as well as indoors. And they're attracted to that kind of working style. And having known many surveyors over the years, you know, that kind of continues throughout their career lifetime, is that they just really enjoy the activity, they enjoy the challenge, they have the ability to think analytically and use mathematics and algorithms to solve problems, as well as being attracted to the technology, the equipment, the hardware, the software currently involved in land surveying. And I think that there are a lot of young people out there who are simply unaware that land surveying could potentially be a very attractive career option.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we, as well as folks like you and our state affiliate groups and all, really try to work on all the time, is to what do we do to attract those people? Because I think you're right. I think, thinking back to when I was coming along, that long educational term or internship term amount of time to get to licensure could be discouraging. The tough environment sometimes of being outside kind of sometimes turns people away, and I think in the last generation or two, the whole concept of even being outside at all is adverse. And I don't even see kids playing on the street much anymore because they're all inside with their handheld computers or something.
Yep.
But I think all of those things contributed to it. And so I know we got to go to break here in about 20 seconds or so, but maybe we can talk about that a little bit more when we come back, and then some of the things that, that you folks are doing on the training side and working with the various schools and whoever's out there to try to encourage those youngsters, because all of us need to work together to make that happen. I don't think any of us alone can do that. So we'll be taking our break, and we'll be right back after a couple minutes.
Want to know if your Schonstedt locator is still under warranty? Go to Schonstedt.com and click on Warranty Finder in the lower left-hand corner. Enter your six-digit serial number, and it will tell you everything you need to know. Out of warranty? Click on Repair Department. But here's a tip. Before sending it in, pick up a $25 discount by going to Specials and Sales under the Buy Now tab at www.schonstedt.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's quickstake.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. Today we're with Richard Serby talking about GeoSearch in particular and the surveying profession in general. And our first segment, we had some discussion about where things are heading in the profession and how to attract new people to the profession. I don't know if we covered that as well, Richard, as you were interested in covering, but I am interested in your perspectives on all of that and the types of training that you folks get involved in, whether it's related to helping people work toward that licensure, if it's more toward the people already in the business, or how does that all work?
Well, business model for my business is that employers are our clients, our clientele. Those are the folks that pay us to help them fill seats. And our candidates do not pay a fee to be involved with us at all. And we are very interested in outreach to high schools, colleges, and universities with regard to training and making sure that young people are aware of the geospatial sciences, including land surveying. And so what we do for those folks is we turn our database around 180 degrees and introduce new college graduates, in particular community college and four-year college graduates, to the profession by connecting them with our clients on a no-fee basis to help give a leg up to those folks who are entering the profession at the entry level and need to become acquainted and build their network of contacts within the profession and help them get started with their careers. So as such, I have personally been very involved at the community college level in Colorado with regard to certification programs and helping develop internship opportunities for students. I'm a real believer that connecting students, whether they are the 18-year-old student or whether they're the 38-year-old student, with internship opportunities where they're actually able to assist with real projects in real time in a real work environment. In one case, we have a community college that has a two-stage internship part of the program. The first part is actually available to students after the first three or four classes. So they are able to participate in an internship. That typically is a six-week, sometimes longer, experience, so that they are introduced to what does it feel like to work in a mapping company or in an engineering company or with a surveying company. Is this the kind of work environment that I would enjoy? So it's a very basic level of, so many people complete a college degree only to find out they don't like the work. And now they're having to rethink their entire career goals. So we want to introduce students to the employment market early. And then when they, upon completion of the labs and the classwork and some student projects and so forth, the last experience becomes a semester internship opportunity with an employer on a full-time basis. So it's no longer a two-hour or four-hour-a-day kind of experience, but it becomes an eight-hour-a-day kind of experience where they're actually participating in projects. And most often, these are paid internships. There's an hourly wage attached to the internship. And it also becomes the most critical bridge to employment for those students, because once they have demonstrated what they can do. They have convinced the employer that, you know, I show up early and I stay late in order to complete the work. I love what I do, and it shows. I'm efficient. I'm accurate, and I'm not afraid to ask questions. And I like working with a professional team of people. Well, that employer will bend over backwards to make sure that they keep that person. I know so oftentimes that internship opportunity turns into the first job. So, you know, it's just really critical that, you know, sitting in the seat that I'm sitting in day to day, and I am introduced to, of course, new job seekers every day who are asking me about opportunities that may exist. And I am introduced to employers every day who I may or may not have worked with in the past, because that part of the industry is also very much in motion. It's a living being out there. I hear of a name of a company that I had never heard of before, and not very many days and weeks go by that I'm not introduced to yet another commercial enterprise that has been started. And we also work with public agencies, whether it's a city or a county or a state government agency. So we are continually looking for opportunities to introduce ourselves to those students who are entertaining the idea of entering the profession in one capacity or the other, including land surveying.
So when you're looking at that pool, you were talking about the candidates. Obviously, some of the kids are in high school, may go in one direction or another, and you could help them out. Do you find sometimes when you're looking in the colleges that you find people who maybe aren't already in a curriculum leading to this who may find it of interest, and or maybe even people in the workforce come to you looking for something? And do you find that combination, or is it more?
Yeah, I was a high school teacher at one time and a school principal, and so I've always been interested in high school, even middle level, even junior high school age students that we now call middle schools for the most part, and introducing them to the occupations that exist within the general term of geography, and then continue that discussion with high school students especially as they move from the sophomore year to the junior year, and they begin to think more seriously about what and if college is in their future. And so we participate in things like career fairs and that kind of thing at the high school level to introduce students to the profession and the occupations that exist within the profession. And then follow that with being available and making contact with students who may be in their freshman or sophomore year in college who are really working on their general education requirements, may or may not have made any decisions about a college major, and encourage them to think about the opportunities that exist within the geographic sciences. And so that discussion is one that, as you have pointed out, one person can't do this. It takes all of us to make ourselves available to students who are in the process of making these kinds of decisions. So whether you own a surveying company or whether you are a professional land surveyor, it is really important that we all take whatever time that we have available to make it known to our middle schools, our high schools, our community colleges, our four-year colleges and universities in our area, that we are available to speak to students. And we would like to be invited to your campus to introduce careers within the geographic sciences two-year students. So, and it's going to take all of us to do that.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great perspective, too, because I'm sure you've been around the surveying profession long enough to recognize that oftentimes the people who go into surveying are not the type of people who are going to take that first step. And we often, even with our, I'm sure you're probably familiar with our Trig Star program in high school, but when we try to get our surveyors to go out and they're like, well, they won't talk to me, but it takes a little effort, obviously, to get that done. So I'm really interested in your perspective on what you're saying about that, because it is a challenge understanding that our profession needs new blood, and that for all the reasons we pointed out here, but sometimes there's a reluctance for people to step out and offer themselves up to participate.
Well, we even helped a few companies, mapping companies in particular, sponsor a career fair at their facility. And we advertised in the community and invited people to come in and take a look at just what this industry is all about. And we had, in one instance, we had something like 200 people come through the facility on a one Saturday. And from that group, they actually were set up in such a way that they could provide some testing. In particular, at that time, they were interested in people who could see in 3D for photogrammetry work. And so they would just test them on site and let them know, yes, you do have the ability to see what it is we do through specialized instruments and create a map in a 3D image. It goes both ways. That we're willing to drive down the road to visit campuses and high schools and so forth, and we're also willing to set up times where we can invite your students in to take a look at what it looks like and what it feels like, kind of kick the tires a little bit in terms of what it is we do here.
Yeah, that's a very good approach, I think. That's something I think all of us in surveying can learn from as we try to do our outreach and clearly, the new technologies, and we can talk about that when we come back and after our next break here, 30 seconds away, but talking about those new technologies, because I think that's a great tool for us to use to attract young people, because obviously they're interested in it. My grandchildren sit with their iPhones and text to each other on each end of the sofa and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think being able to use that technology to bring younger people in is an important element of what we do, and that becomes difficult sometimes if we're not as tied to it as we should be. So let's go to that break. We'll be right back.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstadt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators. Any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details or visit www.schonstadt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number. 800-438-0387 or go to quickstake.com. That's quickstake.com and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
Want to know if your Schonstedt locator is still under warranty? Go to Schonstedt.com and click on Warranty Finder in the lower left-hand corner. Enter your six-digit serial number, and it will tell you everything you need to know. Out of warranty?
click on Repair Department. But here's a tip. Before sending it in, pick up a $25 discount by going to Specials and Sales under the Buy Now tab at www.schonstedt.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Before Richard and I went to break, we were talking about getting young people interested in the programs that, you folks at GeoSearch have to help make them aware. We as associations and surveyors in general, I think, can learn from some of the things that, you guys are doing. And it does take all of us. There's no question about that. And one of the, I won't say a stumbling block, but certainly an issue as relates to the ones of us who are in the profession in that around or above that average age we were talking about earlier, or maybe even younger than that, sometimes we shy away from sharing the new technologies with students. Oftentimes I'll see presentations only about history, how Lincoln did it or how Jefferson did it or how Washington did it or those types of things, which is all of interest and I think is important. I'm not so sure that young people are as interested in all of that stuff as maybe we were when we were growing up. It seems as though to them ancient history is sometime after we became adults. It is a challenge, I think. I don't know how you guys are able to use the technology side, but it is a great tool for us to use because that's what sparks the young people's interest. So,
well, I'll tell
interesting
you,
how you guys are doing that.
Yeah, it's a whiz-bang kind of a thing. It's amazing how the technology has changed and grown. And of course, the professional land surveyor who is steeped in ground truth and photogrammetric accuracy and using total stations and having feet firmly planted on the ground in these activities sometimes are a bit intimidated by technologies that are coming along that perhaps threaten the profession, at least from their perspective, in terms of is a piece of hardware or software going to take my job. But you are also accurate in that attracting younger people into the profession, there's nothing quite like watching a UAV with four helicopter blades flying above the ground taking pictures and using sensors mounted on those, what the military calls drones. We prefer to call them unmanned aerial vehicles or unmanned aerial systems. But the UAVs equipped with highly accurate sensors in making measurements above ground and on the ground. And I'm working with a company right now that has developed a technology, a smartphone application of all things, that will greatly reduce the expense in equipping a field crew for the measurement of above-ground assets, such as electric utilities, utility poles, utility substations, and all of this kind of activity. And being able to get engineering-grade accuracy from a smartphone application. And that really has changed the game again from much more expensive GPS and other technologies that have been available for those applications. But you've got 3D laser scanning. You've got the aerial sensors that are changing rapidly and coming down in cost. GPS receivers, of course, that we're pretty much used to. GPS, you remember... since we're probably close to the same age, GPS was mounted in the back of a pickup truck. They were so large and cumbersome, and now, of course, you can just carry them in your pocket. The total stations, robotic total stations, handheld tablets, and all of the hardware and the software that goes into getting accuracy and with regard to roads and streets and parcels and cadastral mapping and the like, are now available. Those technologies are very attractive to the young people entering any profession, but especially if they have an interest in the geospatial sciences, land surveying, GIS, photogrammetry, or remote sensing, any of those specialties within the geospatial sciences. And it's affecting it will continue to have an impact on the surveying profession as these technologies are going to be made more available, more affordable, and allows one person to do the task of what may have taken an entire crew to do.
That's very true. And one of the things I think that we in the older generation tend to have difficulties with when all of this comes to the fore is our dedication to, you know, accurate positioning. And I've talked about this on the show a lot too, but precise measurement versus accurate location, there's this big fear among the surveying group, and rightfully so in a lot of ways, regarding, you know, you can get a very precise measurement of something, but it might not be where it's supposed to be, either whether you put it there or whether you've located it in some way. And so I think that dedication of the surveyor to what we do, you know, we provide accurate locations and positioning for the use, and it's very precisely measured, but at least in our mind it has to be in the right place also. I think that leads to some of that fear that anybody's going to pick up this stuff and they're going to go out and they won't even understand if their precise measurement to the wrong place happens. And because of that fear, it's harder for the older generation of us to grasp or appreciate, maybe is a better word, what all that equipment can do for us and help us as well. So yeah, that's a pretty big challenge.
Well, in any time you're talking about high-tech hardware, software systems, you know, junk in just produces junk out. And so the dedicated professional land surveyor has every right and duty to ensure high-quality accuracy and in terms of positioning and ground truth before that data is then imported into the sort of the whiz-bang technologies that we have access to today. But when we get into the use of as UAVs, eventually if they will figure out how to use UAVs in a safe manner. Other countries are doing it to a much higher degree than we are doing it now, and helping us figure that out. But other kinds of hardware and software systems that will allow the professional land surveyor to be convinced that the data that they are collecting is accurate, is of a standard that is required. Because once you import all of this stuff into a GIS, for instance, and start producing layers and layers of mapping products for cities and counties and state and federal government uses, it has to be accurate. It just has to be accurate. So there is a good reason that as we bring younger people into the surveying profession, that we continue to emphasize the importance of accuracy from the first measurement.
Very, very, very true. And as I said before, that is a big challenge for us as surveyors to make all of that work together. You know, we understand the importance of the precision and the accuracy, and I think the fear that some other unqualified person takes that equipment and then challenges the work of the surveyor as part of that whole equation, and surveyors actually embracing the technology the way we should be embracing it, because it isn't gonna go away. That's for sure.
No.
And it's actually gonna be enhanced as we go along.
Right.
And so we just have to become accustomed to that, and you know, that kind of leads to that whole idea of finding qualified surveyors out there. In your work, are some of your clients looking for people who are already licensed folks, or are they looking for people who are working toward that, or is it some combination?
Yeah, kind of put this in perspective. This past 2 years, I have had more demand for licensed surveyors in more states than I had seen the decade prior. I had really not had much activity at all. 10 years ago, finding a demand for PLSs and RPLSs, or even surveyors in training. 2 years ago, that all changed, and I think that was the beginning. That was the first shot across the bow that our surveyors are beginning to retire, and we need to find replacements. And so, I've had a strong demand for finding qualified surveyors this past 2 years, and that's going to just continue to increase for the next several years, I believe. And this part of it is not rocket science. I'm working off of state rosters. I'm working with college programs. I'm working with state and regional land surveying societies and associations, professional associations. I'm, as you know, we met in Washington, D.C. in a joint meeting with MAPS, which is a photogrammetric association for commercial companies, and with NSPS. And it was a good meeting and really opened a lot of eyes in terms of what's going on within the profession, especially in land surveying. So I am just trying to find every avenue available to me to connect with land surveyors at all levels here recently, and it's a challenge.
So do you, in that way, do you then, if there's professional surveyors out there who are looking for something, do they come to you as well as the companies so that they get into your database?
Yeah, we encourage them to create an account with us as a job seeker. Even if they're not actively looking for a new job, it's always a good idea to keep the periscope up, to have some perspective of what's going on in the business and in the profession. So we encourage them to create an account with us. There's no expense involved with it. And that allows us to send automated email alerts anytime a position is posted where that meets their criteria in terms of the job category and criteria in terms of locations that are acceptable. And just makes folks aware of that. Also, we like to use our job seekers in terms of connecting with
others. I interrupt, Richard. We're going to have to go to our last break. Let's pick up on that point when we come back.
Okay.
Want to know if your Schonstedt locator is still under warranty? Go to Schonstedt.com and click on Warranty Finder in the lower left-hand corner. Enter your 6-digit serial number, and it will tell you everything you need to know. Out of warranty? Click on Repair Department. But here's a tip. Before sending it in, pick up a $25 discount by going to Specials and Sales under the Buy Now tab at www.schonstedt.com.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's quickstake.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quickstakes today.
Schonstedt Instrument Company has been making locating easier since 1953. First, with its yellow stick, the GA52CX, the industry standard for sensitivity. Then, the GA72CD, a shorter and more rugged version offering a magnetic polarity display and a battery and sensitivity indicator. And most recently, the GA92XT, built for portability. It retracts to fit in its holster and extends for one-handed operation and fingertip control. See them all at Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
We're back for our last segment today with Richard Servi. We're talking about his somewhat specialized business, and we were talking about that during the break and the path you have chosen. But before we went to break, you were talking about the job seekers and keeping their resumes fresh and out there and available. One of the things that made me think about was a topic that we in the surveying profession probably talk more about now than we ever have in the past, and that's the whole idea of mobility in the whole licensing structure, because, as you know, each state has its own licensing rules. And that's a pretty common topic now, particularly with folks down at NCES who do the national exams and all that, creating that mobility, because in a company like yours, I would assume someone who has the ability to either have or pretty easily obtain a license in another place, if your client's looking for a licensee, would be an important element.
Yes, and the licensing structures is really an obstacle in mobility, and it is designed, and in some cases it's designed in such a way that really blocks people from entering the profession or moving from state to state. Now, it is true that many of your listeners out there are probably licensed in several states and have acquired those licenses over a good long period of time as needed. But it is not an easy process to qualify with for licensure moving from state to state. It's a difficult thing to do, and my sense of it would be that prevents many very highly qualified surveyors who have a reason to want to be in a different location, and the licensing prevents them from doing that.
Yeah, you throw on top of that the whole difference in the way the continuing education requirements are set up.
Mm-hmm.
I know folks who have multiple licenses, and they spend a good part of their time going to classes to keep the CEUs up.
Right. So it's going to... There really does need to be a national perspective on licensing in terms of some common core requirements that are required in all states. And then there may be some specialty issues from state to state in terms of the differences between working in the state of Colorado as opposed to working in the state of Florida.
I think if we had a comprehensive educational characteristic that is required for the body of knowledge, so to speak, to perform surveys, I think that would be helpful, because with the differences in requirements in terms of what the education is and from state to state, it is difficult for anyone to prepare themselves to have a whole lot of mobility just because of the state they came, where they got their original training in, may not even meet the qualifications of some other state, and even though they're licensed in one state, they could never get licensed in the other one.
Right.
And so we do need to try to figure out a way to bring everybody under the tent, so to speak, so that we're talking more specifically, or maybe more generally is a better word, in terms of a broad educational background.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's... not unlike what ASPRS is done for photogrammetry with regard to becoming a professional licensed photogrammetrist. And that designation is good wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no mobility issue for a photogrammetrist working in different states their entire career. if something like that were to exist for licensed surveyors, it would be a great service to the profession and a great service to the professionals to have that ability to be designated at a national level and have that mobility.
Yeah, I think one of the things that causes some of that issue relates to the work of the surveyor is not necessarily exactly the same everywhere you go. The
right.
mechanics are in a lot of ways, and of course in the thing that ASPRS is doing, that work is pretty much the same everywhere, and in most cases it isn't even a licensed practice unless it happens to fall under surveying somehow. But all of those interpretive skills that the surveyor needs, as I always say, the detective, puzzle worker, mind reader characteristics, have somewhat different connotations from one place to another in terms of making those determinations. So I think that's part of it. It's not where one can just go get an education and start performing work that would be exactly the same everywhere. Even though the mechanics might be the same, the interpretive part of it isn't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that does cause some of that issue, I think.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm interested in on your perspective on where we're headed with all this. I was very interested in the comment you made earlier about the demand right now being so high for surveying. Is that attributable to anything in particular? Is it the way we're extracting minerals these days? Is it any more people, or do you have any idea why that demand is as high?
Well, I think it's related to some degree. It's related to that beginning first wave of surveyors who are retiring.
Mm-hmm.
That is starting with those folks who are in their early to mid-60s, perhaps late 60s, and those folks who are beginning to retire from the profession. And there are a whole bunch of surveyors who are in that baby boomer generation who will be following in their footsteps over the next several years. And I think that contributes a lot to it. And I believe that once we did come out of the deep ditch that we experienced in starting in 2006 and beyond and continued for several years, that has improved a great deal. We've gone from an 8 to 10 unemployment rate in some states, and now we're on a national level we're down to that 5% level. Here in Colorado, we're even below 5%, something like 4.2%. So that creates a very different dynamic in terms of the supply and demand within all industries, including geospatial mapping and surveying. So we have a much healthier economy now. Those folks who are actively seeking employment are finding employment more quickly than a few years ago, and companies are beginning to have the confidence that they can add to their staff and grow their businesses. So I think all of those things play a part in kind of what we're seeing today that we did not see just 2 or 3 years ago.
So if I'm understanding correctly, you're seeing that more on a broader geographic scale than perhaps in the bust and booms of the past. I know when I first moved to this part of Virginia from the rural southern part of the state, it was a time when development was booming here, so there was a big demand and not so much someplace else. And so everything drove to where, you know, there were people coming here from every state in the union. But it sounds like maybe that's not as area specific now as it is more broad based.
Yeah, I think that we're seeing it much more widespread in terms of the employment picture, certainly, and the work activity is much more widespread now and not as localized. Where houses are being built again, streets are being built. Cul-de-sacs are being developed, and you know these kinds of growth activities have people on the move, and they have there are employment opportunities, professional opportunities. Training programs are beginning to be more optimistic that if they offer a training program in surveying or other discipline, that there's actually a job at the end of the program. So I think it's not as localized as the picture that that you paint in terms of your career.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear, though, because
yes.
I mean, there's more opportunity everywhere. And so if people are interested in sending resumes or finding out about how you guys work, what's the best way to do that?
www.geosearch.com is the way for us to get introduced. You create a job seeker account, whether or not you're looking for a job, and I'll be happy to get to know you.
Well, that's sounds like a fairly easy way to get involved in the business. And I guess, are you then, we've been talking all about surveying today, and that's the way we should be because we're a surveying show.
Yeah.
But I guess you have a little bit broader reach than that. I suppose you're seeing that kind of growth in other sectors as well?
Yeah, we work in GIS, GPS, photogrammetry, remote sensing, satellite imagery. That all of that includes land surveying. Even we get into hydrology and other kinds of disciplines as well. But the one thing that they all have in common is they're all location-based disciplines. They all have to do with creating maps of one kind or another and providing accurate location information to those who require it, such as cities and counties and states and federal government agencies, and also related engineering companies, anyone who needs this kind of information. The technologies that we represent are used in every industry out there. We have clients who are in the insurance industry. We have supermarket chains who use us for site selection, finding people to help them with site selection. Starbucks and McDonald's and Arby's and all kinds of folks have used our services in the past for their specific applications. And I still, the core common folks that we represent typically are the multidisciplinary engineering and mapping companies that have a surveying element, they have a photogrammetry element, they have an aerial photography element.
Sure.
Those are the kind of folks that we hear from day to day.
Well, in our last 30 seconds, I want to thank you for being with me. And all of the things that you just talked about, I don't think are something that people would automatically think of. So that was really interesting to hear. But I really appreciate you being with me today. It's been eye-opening for me, and I'm sure it has for our audience as well. And again, that's www.geosearch.com for those who are interested in getting their word out there. So thanks again, Richard, for being with me. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it, too.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.